Thank you, Daryl, for reading that. And Dylan, for the song. It's actually one of my favorite songs. So, if you haven't guessed, we're going to be talking about happiness. Bowden brought home a paper from one of the classes that he was taking. And it asked, what is happiness? So I think a lot of times in the holiday season, you reevaluate what is happiness to you. There have been many definitions of happiness over the years, but most have centered on a handful of core components and themes when it comes to defining happiness and well-being. One of them is positive emotions about the past, present, and future, a sense of connection to those around us, as well as our pursuits, vocations, and activities, a deep underlying feeling of life satisfaction, and finally, a sense of meaning and purpose, that our lives are worthwhile. And this is the part that I like. Better still, happiness is best thought of as a skill or a practiced state of mind. That means that through practice and effort, we can all become happier over time. So I'd like for us this afternoon to look at happiness in the Lord. I don't know of any person who wouldn't want to experience true happiness. Some seem to think that that can be found in the things of this world. Solomon certainly thought that he could for a while. He had everything a worldly person could want. He had wine, women, and money, and he had all kinds of wisdom, and he had fame and power. But as Solomon reflected upon all these things, he realized that there wasn't any true happiness in these things of the material world. In fact, he got bored. And this is what he had to say in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9, it reads, "What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun." Solomon came to the realization of what really matters in life and what can bring about true happiness, as we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, starting in verse 13, it reads, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." You see, true happiness can only be found in the Lord. And of course, we can learn about how we can be happy by looking to God's word. Solomon also pointed out this in a couple of Proverbs. Let's take a look at Proverbs 29, verse 18. Proverbs 29, verse 18, it reads, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law." And also in Proverbs 16, verse 20. Proverbs 16, 20, it reads, "He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." So when a person gets to the point in their life where they can trust in the Lord, it is at that point that they can know without a doubt that if they keep his commandments, they can have the confidence that they will have something to look forward to beyond this existence. And this should bring about true happiness in a person's life. Let us now take a look at several reasons why every Christian should be able to find happiness in the Lord. First, we should be happy in the fact that we know that there is a God and that Jesus is our Savior. Could you imagine going through life not knowing about Jesus? Think about how sad life would be, thinking that all you have is this short time that we have on earth. We should also be happy that we live in a country where it is possible for us to have easy access to the knowledge of Christ. Think about how sad it is for those in the world who are cut off from the Word of God, who desperately need to hear the saving message of the gospel call. You see, we should have great joy in our life knowing that we have a God that loves and cares for us and is always there for us. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse 5. Hebrews 13, 5, it reads, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Now think about how happy this should make all of us feel as Christians, knowing that God loves us so much that he will never forsake us. This is why so many Christians are happy and blessed, because they know that they know the Lord and they trust him with all their heart, mind, and soul. We also learn that God doesn't miss any of the details of our lives, as David suggests in Psalm 139. Let's take a look at Psalm 139. "O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, 'Surely the darkness shall fall on me,' even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." So not only should we be happy in the Lord because we know him, but we should be happy that he knows us so well, and that he is willing to care for us, each and every one of us. And as we can see in Luke chapter 12, verse 7, that the very hairs of our heads are numbered. Paul certainly conveyed his confidence in the Lord and his providential care in 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 8, it reads, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." You see, Paul didn't worry about his situation. He had learned from the Lord to be content where he was, and no matter how much suffering or obstacles came his way, he could rejoice and find happiness in the Lord, because he knew the Lord and trusted in him and his promises. And in the same way, we can find happiness in the Lord. The second way that we can find happiness in the Lord is in the fact that we can pray to God and have confidence that he will do what is best for our problems. Again, ask yourself to imagine not having access to God through prayer. It would certainly be very sad to know that all I could do is learn about God, but never talk to him. It would also cast a great shadow of doubt on the love of God if he wasn't willing to listen to us. But fortunately for us, we all have access to God through prayer, thanks to Jesus. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 14, it reads, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." It is so wonderful to be able to speak to God through prayer and to turn all our problems and worries over to him, knowing that he will make things work out for the best. As Paul says in Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28, Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 28, it reads, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You see, God always has our best interest at heart, and it should make us very happy to know that he is in charge and that he will do things according to his will. It should also make us happy that we have this kind of a relationship with our God. It is important that we don't neglect prayer in our life, as Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, it reads, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If we find that we don't have happiness in our life, perhaps we should look at our prayer life, and maybe we need to change things in that area. Now, the third thing that we should be happy is studying the Word of God. There are many today who hardly ever open their Bibles unless they are at church. And we are missing out on another great source of happiness. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 6. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 6, it reads, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." The word blessed can also be defined as happiness. There is great joy in trying to learn as much as we can about God and living a righteous life. And the way that we can do this is by studying our Bibles, because it contains everything we need to know to be pleasing to God. Take a look at 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm sure most of us can probably quote this by heart. 2 Timothy 3:16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And also 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it reads, "His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue." I can promise you one thing, that you can never exhaust the Bible, because there is always something new to learn. And not only is there great happiness in learning more about God, the more we read and study these verses that talk about how much God loves us and how much he is involved in our lives, the easier it will be for us to find ways to rejoice in the Lord, no matter what our situation may be. Not only can studying God's word make us happy, it is also a necessity. Please note the following scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So there is a great need to know the word, because without knowing the word, how can we know how to be pleasing to God and how to tell others about him? Let's take a look at 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 15, it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. So how can you defend your belief if you don't know what the Bible says? Let's take a look at 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 22. 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 22, it reads, "And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." So how can we possibly know how to keep the commandments of God if we never study them? How can we have confidence that our prayers are being answered if we don't ever study our Bibles? How can we know that we are worshiping God in spirit and truth if we do not study our Bibles? We cannot. I am reminded of the words of Hosea in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because you have rejected knowledge." We certainly have many examples of those that we should follow after when it comes to knowing God's word. Let's take a look at a few of those. Let's take a look at Job chapter 23, verse 12. Job chapter 23, starting verse 12, it reads, "I have not departed from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So Job considered the word of God more important than even necessary food. And I like what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16, it reads, "Your words were found, and I ate them, and your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts." You see, he understood that the word of God brought joy into his life. And if we would only make the time to allow God's word to be poured into our hearts on a daily basis, we could express the feelings that Jeremiah had. Finally, I want to share what David had to say about this topic in Psalm 1:1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and if his law and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So please don't neglect the word of God, and you will be thankful that you didn't, because it will bring great happiness into your life. The fourth thing that can bring us happiness in the Lord is by serving him and knowing that we are bringing him glory by what we do. We can certainly see this from the first century apostles as they are arrested for the second time for preaching in the name of Jesus. Now the opposing Jews would have loved to have killed them, but Gamaliel gave them the advice to leave them alone at this time. And we pick up the story in Acts chapter 4 Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 40. Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 40, it reads, "And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. You see, it brought them great joy knowing that they were doing the will of God, even though they were beaten for it. Don't you think that we should have a great joy in doing things that God has asked us to do? Our answer should be yes. However, sometimes we look at serving God as a drudgery, a responsibility, or a chore. And then so many simply avoid serving God. When we start thinking about everything God has done for us and everything that He has promised us, it should make us desire to want to do things for the Lord. Although we can never earn our salvation, we can certainly do our best to bring glory and honor to the Lord, and that should bring happiness to us. It doesn't matter how you are treated when we serve God, because no matter what the result, you will be blessed in what you do. Just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 10. Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 10, it reads, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So as you can see, there are many reasons of why we should be able to find happiness in serving the Lord. Now our final reason today is why we can find happiness, true happiness in the Lord, is that we have the forgiveness of our sins and the promises that go along with this. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 4, verse 7. Romans chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven, and those sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." So we all know that sin separates us from God, and to have that sin removed and for us to no longer have that sin have power over us is certainly something to be worth being happy about. We can see this in action where Philip chases down the Ethiopian eunuch and teaches him about Christ in Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 35. Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 35, it reads, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Here we can clearly see that once the eunuch accepted the gospel call, he was baptized and his sins were forgiven, and he rejoiced about this. Friends, the next time you start feeling sad, or you start feeling like someone is out to get you, remind yourself of how you obeyed the gospel call and you were baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Think about what that means, because when you do, it should be enough to make you happy instead of sad or defeated. And of course, the ultimate happiness will come to us when we remain faithful to God until the day we die, as John says in Revelation chapter 14, starting in verse 13. Revelation 14:13 reads, "Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, 'Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them.'" When we die in the Lord and we have much to be happy about, and those who love us will certainly miss us, but they will be happy for us because they will know that we are with Christ. We can certainly see that Paul was happy with his salvation at the end of his life, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, it reads, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. With that being said, I hope that this lesson today has encouraged you to and has helped remind you of just how much true happiness there is in the Lord. From our lesson, we have learned these points: knowing the Lord and being known by the Lord, knowing that we can pray to God and that he will take care of us, studying God's word, which teaches us everything we need to know about God and happiness, serving the Lord with the whole heart, mind, and soul, and having the forgiveness of sin and the hope of heaven. If you have found that you are not happy, why don't you reflect upon these things that we have shared? And if you do, I am confident that you will once again find true happiness that can only be found in the Lord. Let's take a look at one last scripture. It's one that I reference quite often in my prayers. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. And the reason I like this one so much is it encapsulates what we're doing, why we're doing it, and what our end goal is in a very short amount of time. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not sin, you having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible, inexpressible and full of joy, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So if you're subject to God's invitation, we ask that you come and stand as we sing.